Now, Kim had typed the bulletin exactly right, but I changed this one and the next one on her after it was all typed up. Numbers 27, beginning in verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up this mountain in the Abiram range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people, as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes." These were the waters of Meribah and Kadesh in the desert of Zin. Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority, so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will come in." Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. Now, the second scripture is from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament. New Testament reading now. Hebrews chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, 'So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.'" Now verse 6. "It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later, he spoke through David, as was said before, 'Today, if ye hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And the last scripture for this morning is 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, the last chapter, 1 Corinthians 16, and verses 13 and 14. "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love." And the particular words we're focusing on, "be men of courage." The King James Version says, "Quit you like men. Be a man. Conduct yourself like a man." And that's the third of that group of five. The first two are just getting ready for the battle. Watch ye, be on guard, look sharp. Satan is on the prowl like a roaring lion, shooting to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom he may devour in it. Be on your guard. And then the second one, stand fast in your faith. Stand firm in your faith. Don't be suckered out of position by Satan, who loves to get people to doubting and to questioning and to arguing and bickering. Paul said to the Galatians in that same vein of thought, "Oh, you foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who got you so far off track so fast?" Don't let the anchor of your faith slip. Hold fast to the anchor of your faith. Watch ye. Stand fast in your faith. Reinforce your position before the attack. Now, today is when the attack begins. When the battle begins. You begin the battle. Conduct yourself like a man. Be a man. This is the way these four and five sharp staccato military-like commands sort of fit together there. Watch you. Stand fast in your faith. Now, the battle's begun, so live it like a man. And God has not left us to guess what it means to live as a man lives. He's given us the biography of a man who conducted himself like a man when the battle for the world began. God's battle, one of God's great battles for his world began. And Joshua is that man. Moses and the Israelites had been in a kind of a defensive holding pattern, a growing stage. Up to the time of Moses' death, they'd been in the desert. But then when God told Moses that he was about ready to take him, the first thing Moses said there in the words that we read was, "Oh God, who will you appoint to lead these people?" Not sure how Moses said it, because these people were pretty rebellious. Where would God find a man? A man. It would take a man to lead these people. And I think Moses' emphasis, a man over this community to go out and come in before them, who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be a sheep not having any shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua son of Nun," and God identifies him as being a man in whom is the Spirit, "and lay on him your hands, and do it in front of the whole assembly, so that they will know that your authority is on him. And then he'll go ahead to live it from there." And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. A man who would quit himself like a man when the battle was joined. And actually, it was Joshua who joined the battle. It was Joshua who stepped off and led them into actual conflict, into the battle itself. And there were several indications prior to this that Joshua would be the kind of man who would live like a man and conduct himself like a man. First place we meet Joshua is in Exodus, the 17th chapter, verses 8 and 9. The Israelites were still in the wilderness. They'd come to a place called Rephidim. And they were just a nation of refugee slaves. How could slaves ever stand up against those fierce Bedouins? And it was the Amalekites who attacked them, or were ready to attack them. And I think the Amalekites saw them as a very soft touch, probably loaded down with gold and silver. You remember they had really loaded them before they left Egypt, and not knowing the ways of the desert, just fresh out of school in Egypt, and easy pickings for those fierce Bedouin tribes. I think they had that all figured out, what they were going to do with the plunder, and then all the slaves they were going to pick up. And Moses looked over the situation, and in Exodus 17, verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, "Joshua, choose some of our men to go out to fight the Amalekites." Israelites never done any fighting, not like that before anyway, and Joshua certainly never had. And I think Joshua should have said, "Moses, you forget, you were the one who went through the west point of Egypt. You're the soldier. I'm just your servant." Moses looked over the men, and he looked over the situation. He says, "Joshua, go pick out some men, go fight that battle." And Joshua did. You remember the battle raged all day long.
And Moses discovered, and I've often wondered whether it was after the battle began or before the battle began, that so long as he held his hands up this way, and he was up where they could see him, probably a rally point, as long as he held his hands up this way, they were winning. But when his hands got tired and he dropped them to sort of relax a little bit, they would lose. So he had two of the other men come alongside and hold his hands up for him. And the battle raged all day, and then in verse 13 it says, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Joshua defeated the Amalekite army with the sword. In verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it. I want this boy, and he must have been very young, I want this boy to remember that the first battle he was in, he won. And he's going to conduct himself like a man. He's my man. The second time we meet Joshua is in Exodus, the 24th chapter, verse 12. He's climbing Mount Sinai with Moses. And Mount Sinai was something else to climb. It wasn't just steep. There was that thunder and that lightning and that appearance of the Lord, the consuming fire of the Lord. Joshua is Moses' aide. All the others had been scattered and told not to touch that mountain. But here is Joshua coming right up alongside as God had ordered Moses. He's his servant. Joshua is in the battle with the Amalekites, and he's winning it. And Joshua is in not the battle with the Lord, but it's that consuming fire, the battle in the world, and he's listening firsthand to what God has to say that will send him out into the battle with sin and Satan. The Lord is giving him the word on the basis of which he's going to conduct himself like a man. The third time we meet Joshua is in Exodus, the 33rd chapter. Moses had set up a special tent called the tent of meeting, or the tent of judgment, just outside the camp of the Israelites. And every time something would come up, the Shekinah glory of the Lord would come and descend on that tent. Moses would go in, and we read what it says there in Exodus 33:11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend in that tent. Then Moses would return to the camp. But this young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. What an experience that would have been, to be there that close to where God was speaking with Moses. The fourth time we meet Joshua is in Numbers 14. He's one of the 12 spies that God told Moses to send into the Promised Land. I checked that again because I heard someone criticizing this idea that Moses would send spies into the Promised Land. God told Moses to do it. Read it again. God says, get the facts before you go into an attack. And whether it's an attack in business, a new business that needs to be pursued, get the facts. Or whether it's some other kind of an attack, get the facts. God told Moses to do that. And here we meet Joshua in Numbers 14. He's one of the 12 spies that Moses sent out to reconnoiter the land. And in Numbers 13:31, 10 of the men said, quote, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. They spread among the people, and they spread among the people a bad report. These 10 spies who came back said, they're too big to hit. They'll clobber us. We saw them. They're Anakims. They're giants. And they're all over the land, and they just eat us up. Almost word for word what they said. Numbers 14:6, Joshua and Caleb. I wish we had time to go into Caleb, because Caleb was also a man who conducted himself like a man. But we can only do one at a time anyway. And Joshua said, do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. These other 10 said, they're too big to hit. They'll clobber us. Joshua came back and said, they're too big to miss. Let's go get them. And the only difference was faith. He says, not in my strength, but God's with us. Their protection's gone. Let's go get them.
He's conducting himself like a man in the heat of battle. But the nation as a whole would not take it at that time. They would not trust in God that way. They did not have that kind of faith in God. And they murmured. And they said, let's go back to Egypt. At least we won't have to fight these Bedouins in Egypt. And Moses and the others wouldn't let them go back to Egypt. But God sent them back into the desert for 40 years of wandering. And to die. Every one of them died except Joshua and Caleb. Every one of those others died except Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua was a man of faith, a man who knew how to stand alone for his convictions. He's a man of leadership. He's a man of some bravery back there, clear back in those days. He may even have been an older teenager. I don't know. But the indication he died at 110, that he wasn't very old in those days. He's a man of faith. A man who knew how to stand alone. And then Joshua was commissioned. He was appointed by God through Moses, as we read about a little bit earlier there. This is the next point where we run into him in Numbers 27. And now there is a man in whom there is the Spirit. He was a man commissioned by God to get a particular job done. And once again in Deuteronomy 31, on the day that Moses was translated, God had Moses take Joshua and tells him it's the very day that he's to be taken to the tent of judgment, the tent of meeting, to confirm his appointment. And in Deuteronomy 31:3, Joshua will cross over ahead of you, God said. And Moses said to Joshua in Deuteronomy 3:7, the day he left it, he said, be strong, Joshua, and courageous, for you must go with this people. Again, I don't know how Moses may have been sinning saying that, but those Israelites were a pretty rebellious people. You better be strong. You better be courageous because you have to go with this people. Well, I don't think it was quite that way, but I know that he took it seriously anyway. Into the land that the Lord swore to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That's Moses' counsel the day he died or the day he was translated, the day he left. And then in Joshua 1 comes the inauguration or the installation. Moses has died, and God now speaks directly to the young commander. And he says there in that 8th verse, he says, Joshua, let you in on a little secret. Here's the secret of all your courage and everything else. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make the way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. That's verse 8. And in the next verse, God says to Joshua, he says, I'll be with you just as I was with Moses. And in the very next verse, verse 11, Joshua's ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will go across the Jordan here to go in to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. He knew the advantage of taking advantage of his newness. And the minute the Lord spoke to him, a man of action and obedience, he said, get those people ready, we're moving. In Joshua 1:16, then they answered Joshua, whatever you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go, just as we obeyed Moses. So we will obey you. Well, I think Moses may have wished that they didn't add that last little sentence there, just as we obeyed Moses, we will obey you. But they meant it. They meant it emotionally anyway. They meant it at that instant. Later on, they were ready to stone him. But at that instant, they said, aye, aye, sir, we'll move. God's told you, we know that, we'll move. Immediately after that, God gave three remarkable confirmations of his blessings, that his hand was in the life of this man, Joshua. The first of those is that the Jordan River, at flood stage, spread out, and the Israelites walked right through on dry ground. Now, that had happened once before. Just as Moses was beginning to exercise his leadership in the life of the nation, the Red Sea had spread out. And this time it had been to release them from the prison and the captivity in Egypt, but it put them into the desert. Now,
And they'd been growing through that time of the desert. Some of them died before they grew, but there was some growth there. And now the Jordan River is parted, and God's hand, God says, that my hand is with this man Joshua, just as it was with Moses. Look, I'm doing the same kind of thing with him. I spread the waters, and the people walk through. But this time now, it's time to join the battle. We're going in to conquer the land. We're going to take that land. It signaled the beginning of the battle. And the second remarkable confirmation was in Joshua 5, just after the men of the nation had been circumcised, after they came through the waters there of the Jordan River, they were circumcised. And just as they were approaching their first big test, the city of Jericho, standing before them, was a man. Standing before Joshua was a man with a drawn sword. And Joshua went up to him. I like something about this man, Joshua. A man with a drawn sword. And Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or are you against us? Are you one of our enemies or are you a friend? He went up to him. He didn't wait for the man to come to him. He went to the man. And the man answered, neither. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And the minute he said that, Joshua fell on his face in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? I don't know whether or not you know how hard it is, or I either, for a 5-star general to get down on his knees. I was with a 1-star general one night in a room up at Wawasee when he got down on his knees and asked Jesus Christ to come into his life and asked for instructions for life from him. And he commented on that afterwards. He said, Roy, you have no idea how hard it was for me to kneel beside that bed and tell God I was sorry and ask him to make things right and come into my life. He says, a general officer just doesn't do things like that. Well, here is this 5-star commanding general down on his knees saying, what do you want me to do? Whatever you say, that's what goes. And the commander said, take off your shoes, for the place you're standing is holy. You're not down far enough yet. And he did. He did. And then the commander went ahead to tell him how he was to win that next battle. And that was another very humbling thing. I think maybe Joshua had begun thinking about which regiment was to go on which side and how they were to take that thing. And he knew the facts about Jericho. Spies had come back from there. He knew what it was. But the commander just totally upturned any plans he might have had and said, I just want you to go out there and march around that city. So many days, and then the last day I want you to march around so many more, and then blow your trumpets. I can't think of anything more deflating for a military commander as far as a strategy to take a defense city. But the walls of Jericho came a-tumbling down. And that certainly was a confirmation, not only in Joshua's eyes, but in the eyes of the whole nation. God's hand of blessing was on this man. He planned the strategy. God planned the strategy for the battle. God taught Joshua how to fight. God gave him the strength and the wisdom, and God gave Joshua the victory. It reminds me a little bit of the Apostle Paul. Remember where Paul said there, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There was a boldness about him, but he never forgot to trust in God. I don't mean he was perfect. There were times in Joshua's life when he did things wrong. We'll hear about him in a moment. But there was a boldness that was coupled with a confidence in God. Not on his own boldness, but a boldness in God. There were the defeats that followed at Ai. There was sin in the camp. And until that sin was dealt with, they were defeated. They kept on being defeated. It was only after they dealt with that sin. It was the sin of the camp. One person sinned, but the whole camp was blamed for it. And then there were the Gibeonites, and they made a treaty without asking God about it first. They went ahead to do something on their own.
But throughout his lifetime, Joshua's life is the testimony of one who conducted himself like a man. And in battle, God says, this is my definition of what a man is. A man who's bold, but he's reverent. He can get down on his, he can take his shoes off when he's told to. And he can carry through with instructions that just, that doesn't make sense. You're going by that book? You're going to try to run your business by that book? If God says to do it this way, we'll do it this way. I have to be alone and face everyone else, all 10 of you men. We'll do it this way because God said to do it this way. This is the way it is to be. God says, I'm giving you the biography of a man. Quit you like men. This is my description, God says, of a man. This is what he looks like. In the battle with sin and Satan, in my war for my world, there is a man who trusts in me. He listens to my word. He takes me at my word. He waits for me to commission him. He doesn't do what Moses did before, try to run off there on his own in his own timing. He waits for me. But the minute I give him the word, he says to the troops, let's go. We're moving tomorrow. 3 days from now, get them all ready because we're going right on the cross. He acts. He's a man of action. Obedience, prompt action. Kind of man that God says I'll use to win my war. And then at the very end of his life, Joshua gathered the nation together and he tells them some of the secrets of his life. In Joshua, the 23rd chapter, Joshua 23 and 24, you find some of the secrets. How do you get to be this kind of man? How do I get to be this kind of man? How does anyone get to be this kind of person? Well, Joshua's telling about some of those things there. Joshua 23, verse 4, he says it this way, be very careful to love the Lord your God. You wouldn't think of that coming from a man, a grizzled veteran of wars, but he says that to begin with up there. Be very careful to love the Lord your God. And then in chapter 23, verse 4, not one of all the good promises, Joshua's speaking to the people, he's ready to die. He's going to die very shortly. He says, not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as every good promise has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened if you violate the covenant which he has commanded you. Joshua loved God, and Joshua reverenced God and God's word. He says, you've realized the good blessings. Now look out, because he is just as faithful to keep his warnings as he is to keep those others. Joshua kept doing what God had told him to do there in verse 8. Joshua, God said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have a good success. And at the very end of his life, Joshua could look back and say that. Joshua 24, verse 14. This is the last one from that sort of farewell address that Joshua is giving to them. Now for fear the Lord, Joshua says, and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves the one whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm reminded of a well-known attorney here who had a friend, and the friend was an attorney. And my friend here is very, very smooth with words and very able with words. And he'd been telling this other attorney friend of his about God and about how he could come to know God in the person of Jesus Christ. He'd been sharing this with him for years. And the other attorney would out talk him and get around him. And so one day he was going out with a man and his wife, he and his wife and the man and his wife were going out for an evening. And he actually typed out two pieces of paper. On one of them, legal terminology, and I don't understand it, but it said something like this. I, leave the blank for the man's name, and he typed it in there, hereby
reject God in the person of Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And then he put a special place to sign it, and it was all dated and put up in legal form. He put that in one envelope. And then he wrote another one, I hereby receive, ask God to forgive, and receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and place to sign it and date it. And the first thing he did when he found his friend that evening was to give him these two and make him read it. And my friend didn't go on to tell me what happened. And I said, well, tell me what happened. He says he put them both in his pocket and went on talking about something else.
Well, it was the need for some kind of commitment that Joshua is getting at here. He says, if you people want to go ahead and serve some of these other gods, he says, you have a couple of choices, the ones from Egypt and then the ones in the land where you are now. He says, you can choose these if you want to. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And that was a key and a secret. He said, be sure to love the Lord your God. Be very careful to love the Lord your God and serve him. And don't try to compromise that with other gods. Over in Hebrews 4, God points out to us very clearly that Joshua's battles are an illustration and an example of the type of battle that every one of us goes through. Lest someone think, well, you know that's for Joshua back there in those days, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrews, in that part of the world, Palestine. But I live in the United States in the 20th century. And God knew that idea would occur to somebody someplace. And so he put Hebrews 4 in there. And he says, we're all going through the wilderness of life. We're headed for God's promised land called heaven. It's the land of the long rest, folks. It's the long rest. And God warns us, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short. Because the message they heard back there then was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. And three times through that passage in Hebrews 3 and 4, God says, today, if you will, hear his voice. Now it's your turn. Now it's your battle. Will you be strong and conduct yourself like a man in order to come into this rest that God has prepared for those who belong to him? The battle is joined. Will you conduct yourself like a man? God says, I've shown you what a man looks like according to my definition of a man. There are many features of Joshua's character and God's biography of him that we could focus on. Man of tremendous faith. He took God at his word. God's with us. Let's go get him. They're not too big to hit. They're too big to miss. Let's go get him. A man of commitment. Whatever God says, that's good for me. A man of reverence and worship. I'm the commander of the Lord's hosts. Ooh. What do you want me to do? What's the next plan? And I'll follow that plan even if it means marching around that city down there and getting shot at. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. A man of courage. Somebody there with a sword? What do you want? Are you for us? Are you against us? Oh, you're the commander. Fine. I take my orders from you. A man of obedience. Let's get them ready. 3 days from now, we're moving. We're on the march. Get them ready. A man of decisive action. But most important of all is that one that we keep coming over and over again. He took God at his word. He was what we call a man of the word. He was a good student of the word. He didn't hesitate to go back in the 20th century today to the Hebrew word or to the Greek word. Let's find out what it says. And when we find out what it says, then how does it apply? And when we find out how it applies, we'll do it. Whatever it says, we'll do. He lived on that. He did more than just listen to whatever God says. He lived on it. He believed God's promises. He feared God's warnings. He trusted in God and he loved God. Whatever God said, he found a practical application to. What difference does that make in my life? Well, I'll find some difference. What else is it that God has for me to do? And throughout his life, he's God's example of a man who quitted himself like a man. God, we thank you for not just telling us, commit yourself like a man, but for giving us an example right here in your own book of one who committed himself like a man. God, we would do that. Hear the prayer of every man and of every woman just now, because we realize we're involved in the battle right now. We want to look forward to that promised land with you. And between now and then, we would commit ourselves as men. God, hear the prayer of every man or woman as within the silence of his own or her own heart, they commit themselves to you in this matter. Now, Lord, we see something of the relationship that there was between Joshua and your word, the way you kept guiding him through your word, those commandments up there on Mount Sinai, and all those other instructions that you gave to Moses. God, we see, even at this distance in time and place, how that had such an impact upon him. And so we would also make commitment to you concerning our relationship to your word for this week. And we pray now in Jesus' name, amen.